They sneak across the border to work in our fields. After getting a taste of our great American way, they're here to stay by the tens of millions. Their presence among us leads us to ask, should immigration be reformed?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 681st edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in the Beaujolais who are tuned in as we stream along in the radio page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
Producer Carol Stafford is out celebrating her birthday, and so it's a testosterone Saturday with Dave Michaels and Michael Olson. Folks, they sneak across the border to work in our fields, and thus you and I can eat cheap food without having to work hard. But after getting a taste of our great American way, they're here to stay by the tens of millions, give or take a few. Though they are not citizens, we nonetheless assume the responsibility for their nourishment, housing, medication, and their hospitalization, education, incarceration, their birthing, and their passing. When we add all these costs to the wages we pay them for working on our farms, we can readily see that our cheap food really isn't very cheap at all. But the realization that cheap food isn't does not change the fact that we now have immigrants by the tens of millions living among us illegally. And so today we ask, should we bring order to our immigration anarchy, or should we simply throw our hands into the air and cry, "Ollie, ollie, oxen free"? Here to help us look for an answer, we have Deborah Hodnotkin, who is a partner with Barst, Mukami & Kleiner, LLP, out there in New York City, and past president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association. Deborah, welcome to the Food Chain.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for waylaying your lunch with your daughter. We really appreciate it. And tell your daughter thank you for us today as well.
Will do.
American Immigration Lawyers Association, what is that?
Well, it's an association of lawyers around the country who focus on the practice of immigration law. We have about 13,000 members, and our mission is for the just, fair, reasonable enforcement of our immigration laws and for just, fair change to our immigration laws, because our system is broken, and I think that although it's not an easy legislation to pass, we need to fix our broken system.
So yes, everybody. To reform from you guys then.
Oh, yes.
Okay. We always ask, Deborah, who pays the way? So who pays the way for the American Immigration Lawyers Association?
We pay our dues. We're dues-paying members. We have seminars that are open to lawyers only. Except we have a few paralegal seminars for paralegals employed with lawyers, mm-hmm. and we publish some of the most important books in the field of immigration law.
Good enough. Well, Deborah, with respect to immigration, why do we find ourselves in such a state of chaos and anarchy? What on earth happened that we just lost control?
We lost control. There are a couple of reasons. Historically, I think we made mistakes in laws we passed 10 and 20 years ago. Let's start with the old amnesty law of 1986.
Okay.
It legalized 3 million people, and we thought, we need these people. We don't have enough, lesser skilled workers. But what we didn't do is we didn't put in a temporary worker program or a realistic program for people to come here who should come because there are actual jobs for them that Americans don't want, or because they have family members to rejoin.
This would be like the old Bracero program that you're talking
no,
about.
I'm not, no, I'm not. Nobody's ever going back to the old Bracero program.
Okay.
No, but we
Well,
need,
what would that be then?
Okay, well, there are some proposals here. It would be a program where an employer would have to establish that they had a position, whether temporary or ongoing, and show that they have recruited under the supervision of the Department of Labor and there are not U.S. workers that want the job, and that they're offering the wage at what the Department of Labor considers the prevailing wage. If we had that kind of law in place that would have reasonable numeric limits and would allow for ongoing chronic shortages and would give those who wanted a path to permanent residence, we wouldn't have this.
Okay.
The other problem, let me tell you what the other problem is that created the incentive to cross illegally. And we're probably the only advanced democratic country in the world that is this restrictive. If you're a permanent resident here and you ultimately marry somebody from home, you cannot bring them here legally. The quote is about 6 years long. And then if it's a woman and she has a child, the same thing, the child on soil of another country. So we're not very family friendly with our laws.
Now,
we created incentives.
Would you explain that again? Because I thought all you had to do to, you know, is, I guess they, what they call them is anchor babies. You know, all you have to do is have a baby here, and the baby is a citizen, isn't that
true? Yes, the baby is a citizen, but that's not what I'm talking about. If the baby is a citizen, nevertheless, the baby cannot petition for a parent until the baby is 21 years old. So that would be a 21-year wait.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is the fact that it takes, if somebody who's a permanent legal resident here meets somebody and marries them from abroad, they have a 6 year or more year waiting time to bring them here. Most countries treat those people as what's called immediate relatives. The paper processing, you go through a security clearance, you make sure they're not otherwise admissible, and they come without a wait.
So that would be a permanent resident, though, right?
That's right.
That would not be an undocumented alien.
An undocumented alien can't bring anyone here.
Right.
I'm talking about a legal permanent resident, and that's one of the other reasons our laws are broken.
Okay, so then let me paraphrase really quickly. So then the problem with the original amnesty that passed in 1986 was that it did not make provisions for a temporary worker program.
Right.
And then it did not make provisions for
reasonable family unity.
Reasonable family. I'm not sure what that means, but
well,
I'll go along with you.
Bring your spouse and children here, you know, in a reasonable period of time.
Okay, but that still would not have an impact on the undocumented population. That would just be the legal resident aliens then.
Right, but what we're talking about now is the wife waiting it abroad. We're talking about jobs that go begging. So what we did is we had people who were here undocumented. We legalized them. We didn't say, well, what was the incentive to come here illegally, and is there a way to fix it? And we didn't put a lot of border security on the border, which we need to do as well. But we also didn't get rid of the incentives and create better programs for people who should be able to come here in a safe, legal, orderly fashion, not open the door. So that's where the problem started. Then there was another problem. That punished being here overstayed or crossing the border illegally, and it is so strict that it says that if you leave the country after you've been here out of status for a whole year, you are barred from ever returning to the U.S. for 10 years. So we have a lot of people who have employers that would be willing to sponsor them or who have family members who have a basis under our current laws to get our green cards, except for that very, very stringent 10-year punishment. And so what happens is they become captives here, because if that was otherwise lifted, a lot of them would have ways to legalize themselves and to go back to the American consul, put themselves before the consul, show how they're eligible to come here. So we've helped create the situation with two not well thought out laws.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is a question I'm sure that everybody in America is scratching their head at, including the undocumented aliens. Why has our federal government, and this includes both parties, presidents from both parties, turned their back on the border and on enforcing any border security? It seems like they just said threw the gates open and turn their back and look the other way. Why is that?
I think there's a couple things. I think that in a certain sense, for many years when we were in full employment and we needed more busboys and things, it was kind of lax, and then we had 9/11. But I'll tell you what I think the problem is. It's a very big border, and building a wall is expensive, but it also doesn't really fix the problem. People can dig under it, then the coyotes can hit.
Well, yeah, there's always a way of getting through.
That's right. So So what you do is that you first of all you stop the flow, and actually because of our economy, the flow coming over of people who are just coming to seek a job has actually reduced. But you have ways for the people that we want to come.
Can you hold that, Deborah? We have to take a quick break. Yeah. Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about immigration. You know, they came across the border to harvest our food so that you and I don't have to work very hard. But they are not cheap labor. They are an expensive labor. And so we're looking at immigration today and asking, should immigration be reformed? And, of course, everybody says it should. So how should it? We will be right back. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, folks, what do you think? Should immigration be reformed? Yes, says Deborah Notkin. She, the past president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, and making her living with immigration, she should have an opinion. But, Deborah, let me ask you this. If we reform immigration, what would the American Immigration Lawyers Association do?
Well, we will try to make sure that those who are eligible to be legalized don't get victimized by notarios. And we've been working with a lot of nonprofits because there's going to be...
What's notarios?
I'm sorry. Notarios and consultants are people who have traditionally preyed upon the immigrant community, have filed immigration papers for them, charging them a lot of money. They don't have a basis in law. But can I ask you can I just go back to one thing you've said several times? Because I want to address that about the cost of immigrants on education, health, and law enforcement. And there's three particular statistics that I want to cite. First of all, Arizona. Generally, even the undocumented immigrants actually benefit the economy more than they take out. And I'll give you some statistics.
Mm-hmm.
The Udall Center for Studies in Public Policy a year and a half ago did a study and found that in terms of state revenue and payment of taxes attributed to immigrant workers, it was $2.4 billion. And then the estimated fiscal cost combining education, health care, and law enforcement was $1.4 billion. But what was interesting about this figure is that there was a substantial amount for law enforcement activity, primarily in Maricopa County, where Sheriff Joe Arpaio focuses on immigrants, you know, as being the illegal immigrants as being the major crime there. So that's one statistic. The state of Texas Comptroller's Office, I believe it was 2006 or 2007, did a study about the cost of immigrants, the hospitals, the health care, the education, versus what they contribute in taxes, and also found that there was a net gain in a contribution. And one more statistic is that many, many illegal immigrants are paying taxes through their employers, and the Social Security Administration estimated between $6 to $7 billion in Social Security money is coming from that. Right now, these people will never get that back in benefits, and it's helping to keep Social Security above water. So I think that while you can look at it state to state, and the truth is that there are some facilities, particularly in big areas that have a lot of immigrants that may be feeling overburdened, generally immigrants are a net gain, and they're also consumers.
Well, we thank you for those statistics. Not certain I believe them all, but we certainly have. We'll put them on the table for consideration. Let me go back to where we were before the break there, and we were talking about the government. And again, because the break interrupted that discussion, I'd like to finish it. And, okay. And the discussion was actually why the federal government, in all of its political manifestations, has turned its back on the border. And instead of fighting to maintain some kind of law and order, has given into essentially a state of anarchy. What is the motive for the federal government to allow for that chaos?
Well, I think at one point that was true. At this point, I think that there is an enhanced effort, and they've put in more statistics. I'm not sure they're using the best technology or doing it efficiently, but the truth is it's a big border, and I'm all for the order of law and controlling the border, but I think part of the solution is to find plans for future flows for people who should be coming here legally and should have visas available to them, because of family unity and because they can be a benefit to our society. Mm-hmm. So that's one.
And you know, with respect to agriculture has been trying to come up with some kind of manageable guest worker program for ever since they got rid of the Bracero program.
Right.
But it seems like what we did is we got rid of the guest worker program, and then we stopped paying attention to any kind of law and order. So in essence, we've just quit doing anything. And I'm just trying to figure out why the federal... I mean, you know, some people say, well, the Republicans are looking for cheap labor and the Democrats are looking for cheap votes. But somehow, neither one of those just rings true. Because I don't think the labor's cheap. In spite of your statistics, I just don't think that there is such a thing as cheap labor. And I don't think that the votes necessarily all go to the Democratic Party either. So I just don't think that those two reasons ring true. And I keep looking for something that rings true with respect to the government's motivation for allowing for immigration chaos.
You know, I'm not completely sure, honestly. I think they may be trying harder. I think there are some problems. I think right now I know that ICE has a tremendous amount of focus down there on narco trafficking and criminals,
right,
which is really much more important than stopping the next bus boy that's coming across. Not that they shouldn't do that as well, but it may take more resources. It also takes, it takes a way of stopping the incentives and stopping the flow of so many coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. I mean, for instance, there are quarries. I work with an organization of the employer community in New York State, and we just had a meeting with Senator Schumer because he's been a champion of getting something done this year. And, you know, they said, look, at every time we try to bring people in, we advertise for U.S. workers, and the Labor Department tells us, and at the wage they want, and seven came in and started working, and by December we only had one left. So we don't have a good program to stop the incentives. And
mm-hmm.
we have our demographics are very interested in this country. For the most part, skilled workers, people that are bachelor's degree professionals, business lawyers, you know, we have enough of them. But we know
we're kind of useless when it gets right down to it, isn't it?
No, I don't consider it. I'm not, you know, throwing myself in to bring a new lawyer in, you know, like they have some specialized international law, but this is the thing. And and it's going to take us 20 years to fix this in our educational system. We do not produce enough of the STEM people, the scientists, the engineers, the tech people, and the mathematics, the quantitative skills. And while I hope we fix our educational system from top to bottom, for our companies to be globally competitive, we need to have employers be able to bring them in on a better basis than they do now, because we're competing with the best and the brightest with other countries.
Well, are we really? Are we really talking about those kinds of immigrants, though, when we talk about immigration reform?
No, but I'm. Well, that's going to be part of it because they're going to overhaul the whole system. But I just wanted you to see it in the general, and then on the other end of it are the AI workers, the lesser skilled laborers, and our statistics from the Board of Labor Statistics show demographically that our birth rate is getting lower. Unfortunately, more of our people are becoming are getting college degrees, high school diplomas, want white collar jobs, and so there's also on the other end a shortfall of those kind of workers.
Now
I hear
a bell ringing, Deborah. I hear something really interesting here. And when we come back from this break, I'd like to pick up this demographic profile and see if therein does not lie the true reason that our government has turned its back on immigration and allowed for immigration chaos. Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking immigration. We're talking about the people who grow and harvest our food. And we're talking about all the tens of millions of them that now live among us and what on earth we're going to do about it. Are we going to try to bring some kind of management to the immigration chaos, or are we going to throw our hands up and say, ollie, ollie, oxen free? This is Michael Olson. We will be right back with Deborah Notkin, and you do stay tuned. Well, the big question in the immigration equation is, why has the government turned its back on maintaining law and order? That is the question on the table today on the Food Chain. Michael Olson, your host, with Deborah Notkin, who is the immediate past president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association. Deborah's taking some time out from lunch with her daughter, so we're really grateful to have her here today from New York City. Deborah, you touched on something that has really touched me, actually, when you mentioned the fact that we're simply not having enough babies to maintain the economy. And if you think about it, you see a country like the United States who's deeply in debt, and a country who relies on a growing economy to pay off that debt. If we're growing and if the economy's expanding and if we're growing more and more, if there's twice as many people in each city as in 20 years as there are today, then it will be easy to pay off today's debt. But if there's half as many people in that city in 20 years, then we're going to really be in big trouble. So, and we are not having babies like we used to have babies. In fact, we're aborting a lot of babies. Some say that we've aborted somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 million babies. And is there any correlation here between population demographics and the federal government just turning its back and allowing all of these people into our country?
You know, Michael, I don't know that I would really agree with you at this point that the government is turning its back and just allowing these people in. I think that there have been some attempts, starting with the McCain-Kennedy bill a couple years ago, which is a good bill, and now Senator Schumer is making and is working with Lindsey Graham and begging to get together and trying really hard to put together a bipartisan bill. I think the problem is that that the immigration issue, I think that it is as controversial and hard, if not harder, than the health care was and tax. And there was once a saying by a one-time member of the American Immigration Lawyers Association that went into elective office, and she said that generally assumed fact by many elected officials is you don't have legislation on immigration or tax during an election year.
Right.
We can't wait. We need this.
Let me ask you this.
That's the problem.
I didn't know about the legislation, but do we need the immigrants to pay for our future here? Have we just run short of babies?
No, I think that we can't. force people to have more babies. We can be the reverse Chinese, you know, that only let you have one baby. I think that...
Do you think I'm off base?
I think you are. I think that all the countries that are doing well have an immigration policy to bring in what they need, and needs expand. Some countries, like Canada, it's just a general lack of underpopulation. Here it's not, but there are needs. I mean, there are some states like North Dakota, where my mom comes from, which is, I'm sorry to any listeners from North Dakota.
Well,
but,
listen,
you know,
careful, girl. I'm from Montana.
Okay,
that's
well,
awful
my brother
close.
Lives in Montana. But, you know, they really do need more people to be there to build their economy. And we've got areas like upstate New York where we've got the dairy farmers, the quarries that don't have enough people, a U.S. citizens, our native-born population that's willing to move there. They don't have the workforce in the area to perform this labor. So immigration has been and always will be most likely part of a wise economic plan.
Right.
And I'll tell you, countries like Australia and Canada and the UK and Italy, which has a great guest worker program that has worked well for its tourist industry, know that and have used the bringing in of immigrants in a wise way. And especially our country, which we're all immigrants except for the Native American population.
And they're immigrants, too, if you think about it. Long enough back, they're
long
immigrants. Yeah, so
right.
We're all immigrants, but
right. But so I would tell you that immigration is an important component.
Of well, I don't think anybody disagrees with you on that. It's just
got to be wise.
It's just wisely. And the question again is, why is the government totally turning its back? And I just keep going back to there's got to be some fundamental reason there that. Both parties have just essentially turned their back. And I don't know if we'll ever figure that out, but we certainly scratch our head and wonder. So if that being the case, our situation now is that we have millions and tens of millions, some say, of illegal immigrants living among us. So what do we do? You know, we all say we need reform. But what exactly does that reform mean? How can we reform something that we're not even paying attention to now?
Right. Well,
how can we reform chaos?
We have to. That's why there's not one fix. It's not enough to say we're going to patrol our borders, because without having a way to stop that. And that's why President Obama and the Congress and in the past, you know, Lindsey Graham has said it, Senator Schumer and others, that we need a comprehensive approach that includes legalization, includes putting more resources on the border and having smarter border enforcement, and includes not creating the situation again by having reasonable visas when and where we need workers in geographic areas. And our problem, just let me say this, our problem is it's hard to do immigration legislation. So it's got to be done in a way that works when we're in a recessionary period and need less workers, and when we're in a full, you know, economic boom, when we tend to need more. It's got to be that kind of a smart bill.
Well, in 1986, we did just that. We reformed immigration. We did an ollie-ollie oxen free and allowed everybody that was hiding to come in and become citizens, and that was our immigration reform.
Well, we didn't plan for future flows.
Well,
so
in essence, wasn't that immigration reform just an inducement for everybody else to come across the border as well?
I don't think so, because there were also a lot of employer sanctions and strictness on the employer put in. Unfortunately, I think that for some reason, well, I know what happened. The unions, particularly the AFL-CIO, was totally against having a temporary worker program, and I think partly because temporary workers don't pay union dues. But we didn't plan for future flows, and when we had full employment and employers not being able to get landscapers or kitchen workers or quarry workers or ag workers, you know, it made the border more porous. And so this time we have to plan for how it's going to work in the future. We can't afford 12 million people. We just can't. And
With all due respect, though, if we make these plans like we tried to do before,
we didn't. Though we only fixed the illegals.
Well,
we had plans.
Yeah, but we did have plans to, you know, employer sanctions and this and that, and none of which we did.
Yeah. I mean,
we had all of these ideas and these legislation, and then our government totally ignored everything, both the Republicans and the Democrats.
Right.
Folks, this is the food chain.
A lot of employers, by the way, that were caught, fined, and some went to prison, but not nearly enough because it was a paper-driven system.
Folks, we're tuning into the food chain. Michael Olson here with Deborah Notkin. We're having a spirited conversation about a spirited issue, immigration. There are tens of millions of immigrants living among us illegally. What should we do about them? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is the food chain. Michael Olson with Deborah Notkin. She, the past president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, and she, like all the rest of us, are for some kind of reform. What do you think? Well, just about everybody thinks we should reform immigration, but what does that mean? We tried to do it in 1986, and yet we reformed immigration, and now it's time to reform immigration again. Deborah Notkin, what on earth would we do different this time that we didn't do last time?
Well, I think we do several things. Number one is, of course, I've mentioned this, we'd have a better future flow for family unity and needed workers. But number two...
Does that mean some kind of guest worker program?
It means a provisional visa that's not necessarily a guest worker, because we have chronic work shortage needs, but some of it is seasonal for people to come here with employers that have chronic needs, as well as a seasonal one. And we do have an agricultural seasonal one, but it doesn't work for people like the dairy farmers or the hog farmers, because livestock is a year-long thing. But so we'd have a provisional visa that would allow people who are in jobs that are ultimately permanent to have a path to permanent residence if they want. Others like to go back to the countries in Central America, bring the U.S. dollars to their families, but we would have it on a legal basis. The way we can do it, the provisions of the bills that are being put forward now have electronic verification. And there's actually a system out there called E-Verify, which is not mandatory. And I've put several employers on where they're actually linked up to the Department of Homeland Security if they're on a non-immigrant visa, a work visa, and their social security numbers. So you get almost instantaneously, yes, this new employee can work, or no, you have to inquire further. But we have the technology now to really make sure that employers have an accurate way to see if their workforce is legal. And if we're willing to give them the workers they need in a reasonable way, then they should all be required to have that kind of a verification system.
Good enough. So you think it'll work?
I think it will work. I think the system I've seen so far will work. But people who have a workforce that's an immigrant workforce, who've given them the proper documents, are worried that maybe some of them aren't. So until we have a way to fix the needs, you can't do one without the other. That's why it has to be comprehensive.
Well, let me ask you this. What if we do come up with a comprehensive immigration reform and we cross all the T's and dot all the I's, and we pass it through Congress and the president signs it, but what if it's not in the government's interest to enforce this law? As it apparently is not in the government's interest to enforce any law with respect to immigration. What if the government needs are elsewhere and they do as they have done in the past and just ignore everything and just allow an open border?
Well, I don't think it's an open border, but I think we have to hold their feet to the fire. If they do this, part of the promise here is that we are going to have border enforcement, and if they don't, then those that are responsible should be voted out of office. And it's as simple as that. If they say to the American people, we're going to fix this, Then we expect that the legislation that comes forward will fix it, including border control.
And you think that'll work then?
Yes, I do. But that's why it's one of these things that's like a puzzle. And so just trying to fix one piece will not work. We need the whole thing overhauled for it to be workable.
Okay, let's go to the phones, folks. Phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Rich, you're welcome to the food chain. Oh, boy, you sound like you're in a barrel. Do you have your radio on or something?
No, I don't. It's soft.
Okay, go ahead. I think we can hear you. Go ahead.
So this is old news. This all happened in 86. All the promises were made by the same people, the politicians and the attorneys. And now we're doing the same thing again. Kennedy was one of the main pushers of this back then. He's not around to do it this time. But this is all the same stuff. And people have a short memory. And what we're going to do is vote the politicians out this time if people finally figure it out. And the word's getting out on this thing. We don't want this anymore. This was promised to us. We don't trust the government anymore.
Well, let me ask you this. Why is the government turning its back on law and order with respect to immigration?
They enforce the laws they want to, the ones that work for the government.
Yes, but what is the government's motive here? What is it that they need?
One world government. This is all one world government. They're just dumbing down our population, cutting down the salaries of the people that are unemployed. We've got plenty of unemployed people that will take some of these jobs right now, too, believe me. They're looking for anything.
But
anything they can do.
That's just to
dumb it down so we're all one world and controlled.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call, Rich. Yeah. Really appreciate it. I don't know. What do you think about this one world government stuff, Deborah?
I don't. That's really not something that I'm a follower of. I do want to make the point again. We didn't do a comprehensive piece in 86. And I just want you to look at the reality of the situation, mm-hmm. Okay? People are here with blended families. There's undocumented workers supporting U.S. citizens. There are children that were brought here when they were 2 months old. We've educated them. Some of them are valedictorians. Mm-hmm. They can't go to college. They can't get driver's licenses. Are we to tell them they have to go?
I don't think anybody's against immigrants. I mean, you know, there's tens of millions of them living amongst us, and I don't think anybody dislikes those immigrants. I think we all like each other, but what we're having trouble with is chaos with immigration.
I agree with you. You and I are on the same page there. It's just a matter of I think that there can be a legislative solution, and I'm hopeful that both the Democrats and the Republicans, and honestly, we need people to pressure their Republican representatives.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break right back. Hold on, Deborah. We'll be right back, folks. This is The Food Chain. Well, we're back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Deborah Notkin. We're talking immigration reform. Everybody thinks that we should reform immigration, but no two people have the same idea of what that means. Let's go to Sandy, who may have an idea. Sandy, welcome to The Food Chain.
Thank you. I don't have an idea, but I agree with you. I cannot understand why the government has been so loath to enforce immigration policy.
Well, why do you think? What do you think?
That's a good question. I mean, we've got, if you say we have 12 or 15 million illegal immigrants, then we have, 275 million legal people who are, to coin the movie, mad as hell. You know, the less educated people do not assimilate into the population. They don't learn English. They are a drain. And why people are so, you know, I think the people are really getting angry over this. We hear all these sob stories about all the poor people who ran across the border and had a baby, and we don't want to separate families. Take your whole family and go home.
Well, thank you very much for that comment, Sandy. Well, let's go quickly to Pat. Pat, welcome to The Food Chain. Why is the government not maintaining the border?
There's a combination of reasons, I imagine. part of it is Sam Farr, I mean, who I strongly disagree with and has been very dishonest with me when I confront him about immigration.
Okay, Sam Farr is the congressman from your neck of the woods, correct?
Yeah, the 17th
district. Okay, fair enough for the people who are listening elsewhere.
Yeah, part of Santa Cruz and Monterey counties here on the central coast of California. Anyway, he has a very real compassion for immigrants, and I don't doubt that. There is that component of the motivation for open borders. However, there is also other things going on. One is simply the fear of being politically incorrect. Part of it is the Chamber of Commerce doesn't really think much about future consequences. They just simply want a fat bottom line in the next quarter, and so immigration looks attractive from that standpoint.
Okay, but, so you're talking about the traditional Republican and Democrat thing, where the Republicans want cheap labor and the Democrats want cheap votes.
Yep. But
okay, thanks, Pat. Going to move quickly. Yeah. I'm going to Al. Al, really quickly, go ahead.
You know, I'm really wondering what the U.S. policy is, because, you know, there's a whole mixture of humanitarian things. We should be helping out other people in the world, but should we be getting farm workers from, say, rural China or from rural India or from South American states instead of just from Mexico all the time? How do we, like, determine what's fair about that? Or should we just think about the U.S. and, like, what our economy needs? I don't know if the, you know, lawyer had any kind of input on that.
Well, let's ask her. Thanks for the call, Al. Well, Deborah, what do you think?
But we only bring in farm workers and people in these temporary worker programs when an employer can establish a need and is required to pay and add what's called the adverse effect wage, which is higher than the prevailing wage, in an attempt to raise ag. And I'll tell you, most employers would prefer Mexico because they have to pay the transportation costs. It's awful expensive
to bring in farm workers
from India.
Yeah, does anybody actually do that? I mean, why would anybody do that when they just come across the border on their own?
No, there was yes, they do. The employers, good, moral employers who want to do the right thing, struggle with a very cumbersome ag and temporary worker program, which is very limited, to try to bring in legal workers.
Deborah Notkin, thank you so much for joining us today. I don't think we got anything squared away, but at least we got it on the table. And thank you so much for joining us, and thank your daughter for lending us your time. Appreciate it.
Oh, and thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose.